don't you take your Bible, if you will, and we're going to read one verse tonight. Well, we'll read about three verses here. Go to the last book, the last chapter in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 13. And I'll read these last several verses here, these one, two, three, four verses here, as Paul was giving the conclusion to 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. He says, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. Verse 14 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And I want you to look at that last little phrase there, the communion of the Holy Ghost. If God will help me, I want to try to preach a little bit about that. And like I said, it's about half-baked, so we'll do our best. Amen. So thank you, and you can be seated. Lord, we love you this evening. Thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you for the people of God that's come out tonight. I thank you so much for their faithfulness to the house of God and their love for you and the love for the Word of God. And I pray now, Lord, that you'll help us to feed the flock. I pray the Holy Spirit will take our feeble effort tonight of dealing with such a holy and sacred subject. And I pray, God, you'd touch us and use us for thy glory. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen.
Amen.
I have a whole set of Herbert Locker's books that he wrote. He's probably got about, I think I've got about 12 to 14 actual books that he wrote on his. It's almost sort of like the Wiersbe series on the B series, where Brother Locker's books was all. He covered like all the prayers in the Bible, all the parables in the Bible, and so forth. And the reason I'm saying this is what he said about this last verse here in verse number 14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Yes. He said the last verse in this epistle has become one of the most renowned in church worship. For such an apostolic benediction usually closes all our services. It contains a threefold cord in a trinity in unity. It is an evidence of the oneness of the Godhead. This solemn renowned benediction places God in the center, and this is as it should be, for his love is the source and foundation of all his gifts. Because of his love, grace was manifested in Christ. Because of Christ's finished work, we have all the blessings of the Holy Spirit. As sinners, we need grace. As saints, we need all the Spirit can bestow. How rich we are with God's twin love gifts, Christ and the Spirit. And so I'll say this a couple times. It's simply not enough to know about God.
Right.
We must know God in increasing levels of intimacy that lift us above all reason and into adoration and praise and worship.
Right.
Jesus said this in John 4:24, God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in Spirit and in truth. And if you'll notice in that verse sometime, we know the word God is a Spirit is capitalized. That's of course referring to the Holy Spirit. And then when he says that we must worship him in spirit, that's not capitalized, that's a small letter. That's referring to our spirit.
Yes.
And in truth. And so it's our spirit getting connected with the Spirit. Amen. The tragic and frightening decline in the spiritual state of the church, it has been said, has come about as a result of forgetting what kind of God God is. Amen. And I'm hoping to get some thoughts together about that and deal with our perception of God. And we don't have many times the right perception of God, and that hinders our walk with God. And so I, for one, would say the enemy has had something to do with that. Unfortunately, most people are wasting their time on temporal things.
Yeah.
Paul wrote in this book in 2 Corinthians 4:18, if you just go back to that chapter, he said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so it takes a real discipline to focus on the right things while we're here on this earth. We have so many things pulling on us and that has our attention, that demands our attention, that many times we... We forfeit focusing our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says here we're not focusing in on things that we can see on this earth, those things which are temporal. And when we talk about temporal, we're talking about those things that could be for a season, those things are enduring for a while, or those things that are actually just temporary. Paul says we have our eyes on things which are not seen, those things that are not physically not seen with the physical eye. Paul says we're looking at those things which are not seen, and that, of my dear friend, takes a spiritual eye. I'm glad that our spiritual eyes have been opened. Once you get saved by the grace of God, God opens our spiritual eyes. We can see, amen. I love that chapter in John chapter 9 where the blind man received his sight. And he said, I once was blind, but now I see. And you and I can say that as we have been saved by the grace of God. We were blind, but thank God now we can see. Amen.
Right, right.
And so allow me to say three basic levels. There's three basic levels of actually knowing God. Number one, the intellectual level. This is where we must begin. God gave us a mind and he expects us to use it. Amen. But that can only really go so far as you really knowing God. And then there's not only the intellectual level, but there is the theological level. That's simply organizing truth in what we call doctrine. And this is great. The study of God is a great thing. The study of God can be very exciting. All theology must be based upon the Word of God. Amen. This is our foundation for all that we believe and practice. Amen. They taught me that in college. Amen. They said this is the foundation of all that we believe and practice. And so that is. And so what people are starving for today is truth.
Right.
And we arrange that in a way that helps us to have a greater understanding of God. And so we must see to it that it's a study of God and not actually become a human interpretation of God.
Right.
And men can interpret God many different ways, and though the wrong ways, amen. So we have to interpret God through the Word of God. And so as I said a moment ago, the tragic and frightening decline in the spiritual state of the church as you and I know it has come about as a result of forgetting what kind of God really is. Amen.
Amen.
And our issue is that we as humans knowingly or unknowingly bring God down to a pitiful level of thinking.
Right.
We make him out to be a very pitiful and puny God when he's actually Almighty God. Amen.
Amen.
And so there's not only the intellectual level and a theological level about knowing God, but of course then there is the spiritual level.
Yes.
Of knowing God. Of course, these first two levels are important and they're necessary, but these levels lead us to a deeper and higher, even into the very heart of God. Again, it's simply not enough to know about God. We must know God in increasing levels of intimacy that lift us up above all reason into an adoration of praise and worship before God. What we are seeing and dealing with today is a tremendous lack of desire to know God on a personal basis. Any pastor can see that. Every pastor in America can see that. There's a lack of a hunger and a desire to really know God on a personal basis. Amen. And so the church as we know it today seems to have a great deal of passion for everything but God.
Amen.
Amen.
So if we can keep our mind, if we can keep in mind whatever keeps me away from God is my enemy.
Amen.
And only God's power can overcome, and it may help us to win some victories. Amen.
Right. Amen.
And so we have to be careful with habits. We have to be careful with habits. Amen. I've not watched The Hobbit in a while, so that ain't got nothing to do with it. But anyhow, our habits and our hobbies is what I meant to say. Amen. Okay. Come back here now. I'm not saying we don't have them, because we do. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But when they begin to consume more time than God, it can create a problem in your spiritual life. Because God is a jealous God. Amen. He demands our attention more than anybody. Amen.
Amen.
And so the closer you get to God, the further away from the world you're going to become.
Right.
The human heart has a thirst for God. God put that in us, amen. Right. God created us, and something within us relates to something in God. The world, they don't realize what it is, but there's something missing in their life. And they go here, they go there, they try this, they try that, to try to figure out, I've got to figure out what is missing. I cannot just reach my point of satisfaction. I cannot reach that point of peace. And they try and they try and they try. But thank God, one old good trip, the old fashioned altar, praise God, getting saved. Thank God that fixed my peace problem up. Thank God I wanted it. I didn't have it. And thank God when I got saved, I got it. Amen.
Amen.
And so only because of redemption are we brought back into a place of fellowship with God. The birth, the new birth is a must if you're going to walk with God. You have to be born into the family of God. You have to be born again. The Spirit of God dwells comes in us and dwells in us once we're saved by the grace of God. Only because of this indwelling Spirit of God can this fellowship and communion with God be a reality in our lives. And I'm so glad it is tonight. Praise God, God's real, Brother Chris. Holy Spirit's real. And thank God we can recognize Him. We can notice Him. And our services here, we've been in this long enough and been around the church long enough, we can recognize the moving of the Spirit, if I could put it that way, in people's hearts and lives, amen. And so that's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
And so I truly hesitate to even try to deal with such a holy subject tonight, but it's amazing to me that the Holy Spirit would impress Paul to write such a wonderful verse.
Amen.
To such a people that he was dealing with.
Right. That's the truth.
The Holy Spirit said through Paul, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Yes.
That's right. Amen. So remember, the church was struggling with a lot of stuff. And so here we see the love of God brought the grace of Christ. The grace of Christ brought redemption. And at the moment of every redeemed soul comes the indwelling Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen.
And if you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, you're none of His. You are still not saved. You are not born again. Romans 8:9, I believe it is, declares that. Paul said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So that's one way that a person can be sure and be absolutely have the blessed assurance that they've been saved, is that the Holy Spirit is now dwelling in me, and I've been saved long enough now to recognize that He bears witness with my spirit on the inner man. He bears witness with me. There's something that swells up on the inside of me and says, stand up and brag on me. Stand up and thank God for getting saved. That's the Spirit of God working in us, amen. The Holy Spirit says, give that man a tract. Stop here and do this. That's the Spirit of God living in us, amen. Praise God, we are saved by the grace of God, and thank God for the work of the Holy Ghost. And you got to understand something, folks. The Holy Ghost is more than a doctrine. He's a person, amen.
Yep.
He's just as real as Christ.
Exactly.
He is Christ.
Amen.
He's just as real as God. He is God.
Yeah.
And ain't no need of getting all that, because we'll get our minds spinning and our head will be knocked off in the creek. Amen. That's right. But thank God for the Trinity. Amen. It's right here in this verse. Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Ghost is all in that verse right there.
Amen.
Let me remind you some things about the Holy Spirit. He's a person. How do we know this? Because He can speak in 1 Timothy 4:1. He can invite sinners, Revelation 22:17.
Yes.
He can give a command in Acts 11:12. He can forbid people to go to different places, Acts 16:6. He can reprove, and He does a good job of that, John 16:9. The Holy Spirit can teach. Jesus said He would in John 14:26. He said the Holy Spirit's going to teach you. When I'm gone, He's going to teach you some things.
That's right.
Thank God He can lead. Romans 8:14. We are led by the Spirit of God. He can testify. He testifies through us, amen. John chapter 15. Thank God He can cry. Galatians 4:6. He can intercede for us, and thank God He does a good job at that. That's Romans 8:26. He can approve, Acts 15:28. He can witness, Acts 15:32. He can give messages, and He did in Revelation chapter 2.
Yes.
So I want to say that I'm so glad In spite of this church's carnality and the heap of problems they had, the Holy Spirit was still willing to work with them and commune with them. Amen. Oh, thank God we have hope, folks. I'm glad when I look at my pitiful self sometimes, I look at my carnality, I look at my worldliness, I look at my selfishness, I look at my pitiful, pitiful, awful life sometimes, my sinful ways sometimes. I'm so glad God is so merciful and so forgiving and so long-suffering and patient with me. Oh, when I know I'm doing wrong, thank God He loves me. He works with me. He's long-suffering. He's patient with us. And thought, why? Because He loves us and He wants us to help us. Amen.
Amen.
He knew what he was getting when he got us. Amen.
Right.
Oh, how God loves us and longs to fellowship with us. You say, how do you know that? Well, it's very apparent. Why? Because He's still working on us. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God He ain't set us on a shelf.
Right, man.
1 John 1:3, for that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, John said.
Yep.
And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
John said we got fellowship with the Father and the Son.
That's right.
Philippians 2:1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ,
yep,
any comfort of love. And Paul said this, if any fellowship of the Spirit.
Yeah.
If any bowels and mercies. So we have fellowship with God the Father. We can have fellowship with God the Son. And thank God we can have this fellowship with God the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. So we realize we are afforded this fellowship with the Trinity of God. Amen.
Amen.
The grace of Christ. The love of God. The communion of the Holy Ghost. And Paul says in this verse, he said, I want to be with you all. Amen. This church had an opportunity to have that. And in our day, in 2024, Temple Baptist Church, we have an opportunity that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost might be with us. Amen.
Yes.
He wants us to have this. Amen.
Yes.
So the question is it with us all? I'm talking about the communion of the Holy Ghost tonight.
Right. Yes.
The communion of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, do you hold communion with the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus? Three things are needed, and I'm done. Number one, you need a quiet place.
Oh yeah.
In our day, this can be difficult, but not impossible.
Amen.
I want to say that I thank God for earplugs.
Yeah.
I got a pile of them at the house.
Oh yeah.
I wear them all the time. Sure, they can't have here, I reckon. Why? Because I want everything zoned out. I try to get up early when everybody's in the bed, and it's pretty quiet then.
Mm-hmm.
When I start getting up, moving around, I'm distracted. So I put my earplugs in. I tell my wife, I say, honey, I'm putting my earplugs in.
Yeah.
So if you're going to get my attention, you're going to have to come get me.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I mean, it does a good job.
Yeah.
Why? Because I want to be quiet before the Lord.
Amen.
I'm trying to hear His voice. I'm trying to hear the Holy Spirit's voice.
Amen.
This Holy Spirit's a person.
Yeah.
He's trying to talk to us.
That's right.
That's
right. Amen.
I remember years ago, bless his dear heart, I had a deacon. This is how carnal he was. This is how not spiritual he was. He said, you mean God talks to you?
Tell it.
That's what he said one day talking to me. He said, you mean God talks to you? I said, brother. I said, where do you think I get some of my messages from? I hope most of them.
Yeah.
They're not out of the golden nuggets, amen.
No.
I used to have a stack of the golden nuggets. I give all that away. Didn't need it, amen.
Amen.
But what I'm saying is this. Someone has said when our Lord desired seclusion, the cold mountains and the midnight hour witnessed the fervor of His prayers. The Lord Jesus went away to the mountains to pray. Why? He wanted a quiet place. Isaac, he went into the fields to meditate. Jacob lingered on the eastern bank.
Amen.
Moses, he was hid in the clefts of the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah, he sat on that lonely crest of Carmel. Daniel spent weeks of intercession on the banks of Hinnom. Paul had his places of the quiet place.
Yes,
somebody said a poor woman in a great city was never able to free herself from the insistent clamor of her little ones. She made for herself a sanctuary in the simplest way. She said, I threw my apron over my head She said, and there was my closet. Amen.
Yeah.
You got to have a quiet place.
Right.
If you're going to hear the voice of God, you got to get quiet before it.
Right.
Oh, yes, it was said of Robert McShane that he spent most of his time just preparing to get with God, just to talk to God.
Right.
Oh, my friend, we got to have moments of silence. Silence is a mighty powerful thing, and you need to train yourself to sit before God in total silence and learn how to calm your mind down. Learn how to silence your mind and get quiet before God so you can even hear Him speak. Amen.
That's right.
And they don't come overnight. You got to train yourself to be still.
Amen.
Most people can't sit still. I don't like sitting still. So I have to train myself to sit still.
Yeah.
I have to make myself sit still. It's harder than you think.
Amen.
If you're one of them people that can't sit still, try it sometime. You need to train yourself how to sit still before God and get quiet before God.
Right.
Matter of fact, the Bible tells us to study to be quiet.
Yeah, that's
right. There's so much going on around us.
Amen.
There's so much activity. There's so much that our ears are hearing. Oh, when's the last time you just found a quiet place?
Amen.
And was just got still and quiet before God.
Yes.
And I mean, just sat there for a while and just hear to see if He would speak to you and speak to your mind, calm your mind down. Oh, our minds are so embedded. They're so full of thoughts that we have to calm our mind.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
So you got to have a quiet place. Number two, if you're going to commune with the Holy Ghost, you got to have a quiet hour. And I'm not talking exactly 60 minutes here, but a portion of time.
Yeah.
Somebody said it's better to forfeit our recreation, our social interaction, our leisure, than not have time to commune with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Lord had a busy schedule. I was amazed one day when I began to look and see how busy our Lord was when He was on earth in His ministry. And many times He was working and healing and doing things around the clock.
Yeah.
It would go on into the night, in the evenings. And constantly the Lord Jesus was working. He had a busy schedule. He was a very busy man while He was doing His ministry. While that 3.5 years, He was a very, very busy man. But I will say this. When you go to the book of Luke especially, you will find that the Lord Jesus always found time to spend with His Heavenly Father.
Right, right.
And if He needed to, how much more do you and I need to do it?
Amen.
We're not doing ourselves a favor by not spending time with God in prayer.
Amen.
You're not doing yourself a favor. Matter of fact, you're not going to amount to much of anything if you don't have a prayer time and get beyond a prayer time and get you a prayer life. Amen.
Right.
Most Baptists don't have a prayer life. They have a prayer time, which consists of about 5 to 3 minutes a day, if that much. Very few people, I dare say, I don't know how many people even in Temple Baptist Church even spend a whole hour with God at a time in a given day. But you need to.
Amen.
You need that. You need to make that happen.
Right.
It's amazing. We make happen what we want to happen. We make a way.
True.
We make it happen.
Amen.
You need to make a sweet hour of prayer happen in your life.
Right.
And me and mine, amen.
Right.
That's right. At least that. At least an hour. I mean, we do sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. It'd be a nightmare not to pray for an hour if we're going to sing it.
Right.
And we need to sing it, Caleb.
Yeah.
It's because we don't. A lot of people are hypocrites when they sing it. Help them, Lord. That's right. Amen. Everybody with me? Luke's gospel shows us how he would draw himself to pray many, many times over. Prayer should not be measured necessarily by divisions of time. Communion of the Holy Ghost should be something you enjoy continually.
Amen.
I believe it's Brother Beckham said, I'm praying while I'm a preaching. Well, I ain't that spiritual yet. I'm a man of, my mind is very feeble. I want to be able to do that. I'm not saying I do that. I ain't trained my mind to do all that yet. But walking with God, speaking to God, having a communion with God should become a continual thing to us.
Right.
No matter where you're at, at the job or home or mowing grass. I have a great fellowship with God mowing grass, amen. I talk to the Lord all the time when I'm on the mower, amen. I can do that.
Amen.
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 Commune with Him. We must pray as we go along in life. And when you learn to do that, that's better than not praying at all.
Right.
A lot of people don't have a set time to pray. They just don't make the time to do it. They don't have time. They don't have a set time. This is my time with God. This is when I'm doing it. Nothing else matters.
Right.
I'm keeping His time. Well, you find out when you start doing that, something going to eat on that, something will happen, and you'll be discouraged. So learn how to pray. We're supposed to be praying continuously, are we not?
Right.
He did say, I believe, pray without ceasing. I believe that's what he said, Brother Joe. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Learn how to pray without ceasing. Continue to be in communion with God. Listen, he wants you to talk to him all day long. He never gets tired of your requests.
Amen.
He never gets tired of you talking to him, casting your cares upon him. Why, during the day you find a rough spot at work, you need to learn how to breathe a prayer and say, Lord, help me.
Amen.
He'll hear it.
Amen.
Lord, I need some wisdom about this. I got to make this decision. I need you to help me right now.
Right.
Learn how to talk to God on a daily basis, not just when you get down in your little 5-minute prayer at home. Learn how to talk to God continually. Amen.
Yeah.
Have that communion going on with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So you got to have a quiet place. You got to have a quiet hour or allotted some time. But this is the hardest part of communion with the Holy Spirit. You got to get where you have a quiet heart.
Amen.
A quiet place and a quiet heart is difficult. And I've already touched on this a little bit, but something even more challenging is to secure is a quiet heart, a quiet spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's that communion we're to have. So I'm saying without the support of the Holy Spirit in prayer and communion, prayer becomes a matter of incredible difficulty. You'll find out that praying becomes easier when you are learning how to pray in communion with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Daily.
Amen.
Moment by moment as you live your life. So we must remember this wonderful Trinity desires to fellowship and commune,
yes,
with you and I. Oh, this communion of the Holy Ghost. You know anything about that? I want to know more about it.
Amen.
See, I've got the grace of Christ.
Right.
I've got the love of God. But we need that communion of the Holy Ghost,
right,
to help us. Well, I got this in a text today. A little quote here I'm going to read. Thanks to Caleb. And I'm done tonight. So it says this. It goes along with what I'm saying tonight. Salvation is not just about going to heaven. Okay? It's way more than that.
Oh, yes.
Salvation is not just about going to heaven. Certainly, our destination is heaven.
Right.
But our salvation has afforded us a relationship with God that is personal and intimate. Right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm afraid there's a lot of believers going to wait way too late.
Amen.
And their life is going to be over before they learn anything about having an intimate relationship with this thrice holy God.
That's right.
That you and I serve.
Right.
If you actually look up that word communion, I was sort of hesitant to say what it really meant, but it means to have fellowship. It means intercourse. That's not a bad word. We are in love with Christ.
Right.
His Holy Spirit ministers to us. He loves on me.
Amen.
Hey, I tell you what, you get to loving on God, He loves back.
That's right.
Amen. Praise God, that's right.
Amen.
Communion of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There ain't nothing like it, friend.
Right.
It's wonderful. It's glorious.
Amen.
That's right. And Paul said right here when he's closing this book out to the Corinthians, for that crowd to learn how to have communion,
yes, sir,
with the Holy Spirit,
amen,
with the Holy Ghost, the communion of the Holy Ghost. Oh, we need to get to know God, don't we?
Right.
Yes, sir.
See, I want to... Miss Becky, I know him right here real good, but I want to know him in here even more, and I want to know him closely,
right,
don't you? Oh, I want to be close to Jesus, don't you?
Amen.
You know what? He'll let you get as close to him as you want to get.
True.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Amen.
I want to be like some of these guys I'm reading about, Brother Dustin, Brother Tozer. I don't know nothing about this, but he talks about climbing up into the heart of God.
Yeah.
Whew, wouldn't that be a wonderful place to be? To dwell and to fellowship in the heart of God.
Right.
Amen. Wow. Yeah, help us, Lord.
Right.